speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
We've been discussing in our programs this week the Christian soldier and the warfare in which we are in as Christians. You know, Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2, "No soldier on service entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who is enrolled as a soldier." In New Testament times, of course, Paul knew about the soldiers. He saw the soldiers of the emperor, and of course he was indeed knowledgeable of that which they did in order to fight the fight of a human warfare. But he said in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Our Lord said it this way in John 8:31-32 to those Jews that believed upon him. He said, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's the way we bring every thought into captivity, unto obedience to Christ. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and he is our captain of our salvation. You know, the Christian remembers that had it not been for the Christian's armor, he could not have won the victory. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18 give all of those items of armor, and he would have been without protection, the Christian would, from Satan's fiery darts if he didn't have that armor. And you know, if the Christian life is not a battle or a fight, why is armor needed? Well, it wouldn't be needed if it were not for the war. But implements of war are critically and absolutely necessary, aren't they? For a spiritually dead soldier is not of help to the army, but he is rather a hindrance, especially one who is lukewarm or cowardly or critical of every challenge to the enemy and the charge into his territory. He remembers being in the trenches, waging the battle, encouraging the cause, and he is glad that he is a good soldier of Jesus Christ, active and ready unto every good work. He remembers seeking to excel, to please the captain in every respect. He hath put forth his very efforts and all of his efforts to grow in the knowledge and in the ability to meet the enemy. Hebrews 5:12-14, Paul said, "When for time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have need of milk and not of strong meat." So here he's talking about strong Christians and weak Christians. And he said we really ought to discern between good and evil and exercise ourselves to do so. But this soldier of the cross knows also that he may not have triumphed had he not been vigilant in his work. 1 Corinthians 16:13, Paul said, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love." So as a good soldier, a watchman on the wall, this man is vigilant unto every good work and to uphold at all times the word of truth. He's delighted that he realized that his soul and the Lord's cause was in constant danger and that Satan does not sleep. You know, no one of God's soldiers can let up, nor one is safe, is he, from the enemy until the end of the battle. So Revelation 2:10 says, "Now be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." How many times, how many does he remember in the soldiering of the Lord? That he would have won no victories without the Lord's help, but he has won a number of victories and triumphed even unto the end. Also, this Christian soldier thanks the Lord that the army of Christ undergoes a rigorous training regime. What nation sends untrained soldiers into battle? Wouldn't that be foolish? Be assured, though, that Satan and his soldiers are prepared. They have made up their armor. They have made their bulwarks. Very much time is spent in training these soldiers in the wrong way. So it is in the Lord's army. You know, it makes a difference whether we follow the truth or follow the creeds of men. Would you wish your son to go into battle unprepared? Well, that'd be the height of folly, wouldn't it? The rewarded soldiers treasure up time that's spent in Bible classes and worship assemblies and leadership training, because these things help them to be strong soldiers. Thank God for the local congregations of the Lord's people who do train men to walk in the right ways of the Lord And it is a compliment to the elders of the church who see to it that God's people are fortified for battle. You know, the indispensable is the great Bible knowledge that we gain. We just couldn't do without it, because we wouldn't be guided in the right way unless the knowledge was there. And who is not well trained, he falls short on the battlefield, doesn't he? And he is soon slain by his mortal enemy, Satan. The Christian's mind, though, cannot help but go back to the great heritage and tradition of God's army. Often the patches that are worn by certain divisions in a regiment depict the victories and the glories of the past, don't they? And God's soldiers find encouragement for such worthies as Abraham and Moses and Joshua and David, Esther and Deborah, Paul and all of the New Testament writers. Well, how what a wonderful thing is to see that they joyfully sacrificed, even taking beatings, and were going to death, as it were, for the cause of Christ. What a noble lineage. How could we fail those men who have gone before us by being cowards and retreating instead of charging? Today, dear Christian, we can stand on the shoulders and enjoy the fruits of the labors of many great, courageous, stalwart men and women of God. How dare some blaspheme their memory? My friends, it should never be so. Such an one is not worthy to wear the colors in the army of the Lord. But what a blessing it is for him also to undergo great self-sacrifice for his king. He doesn't flinch from that. He remembers having counted the cost before he followed Christ. And Christ warned that his soldiers would be hated, they would be persecuted, maligned, and even killed. He said, there are those who, when they kill you, will think they're doing God a service. Well, the soldiers, having conquered his own spirit then, submitting it wholly to Christ, he's a part of his own victory and reward, isn't he? He renounced worldly lust and passions and any other vile thing, and even in his very appearance, he refuses to have a part. And he renounced anything in his own family which would hinder his service as a soldier of the cross. He said, he who loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of being in my army, in other words. So the Christian's joy is heightened by remembering the hardships which he has endured. You know, 2 Timothy 2:3, Paul said, Timothy, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. War always brings suffering, doesn't it? I don't know of any war that I've ever heard of that doesn't bring some suffering. And one who does not endure the suffering, he certainly does not have enough love for the captain and for his cause, does he? We shall suffer persecution, Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Is a loyal soldier characterized, my friends, by making excuses? Maybe he says, well, you know, it's just too far to march. It's too cold. It's too rainy. Or he may be offended by another soldier. Do not like the sergeant, maybe, is one of his excuses. But you know, all of these fall short, don't they? Such is rank disrespect for the captain of our salvation, Jesus Christ. Think of the Japanese who considered it a high honor to risk their lives, even to die for their cause. Well, so it was with the apostles. In Acts 4, part of them were arrested and put in prison when they were charged not to preach or teach any more in the name of Jesus. They said, whether it be right in the sight of God or not, judge ye. So he rejoices, this soldier does, that he sacrificed in order to defend the cause, even at great personal sacrifice, perhaps, at the cause of ridicule and even persecution. You know, some say that we should imitate Christ. Indeed, let us sacrifice self as he did in order to contend for the faith. But then they refuse to contend for the faith. How sad it is to see one who will not imitate Christ, but he tells what he thinks Christ is like. He doesn't know the mind of Christ because he doesn't study the truth concerning the Lord. He doesn't know what kind of mind he exemplified until he studies to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, this man views his life as enduring hardness, dying, if necessary, in victory. And often Paul's enemies were his own brethren, Galatians 4:16. He wanted to know, do I make you mine enemy? Because I tell you the truth. We should not be. That's the greatest friend we have. is one who will tell us the truth as it is revealed in God's Word. Might not some of those who were crying out the loudest for Paul's death in Acts 21 have been members of the Lord's church? Oh, we would hope not, but we're afraid that's true. Paul charged Timothy, "Suffer hardship with me. Follow me to the front line of battle. Accompany me into the trenches. Let us look together into the whites of the eyes of the evil foe. Let us conquer in the name of the Messiah. March with me as we capture enemy territory and release the captives. Let us give up not one foot of sacred ground. Let us whet up the courage of our convictions together, for hellfire awaits the fearful and the unbelieving and the whoremongers and all liars," Revelation 21:8. You know, the coward and the non-sacrificing one refuses to partake of the cross of Christ, doesn't he? He's not a friend of the cross. He's an enemy of the cross. We sometimes sing, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? What is a man profited if he doesn't stand with the Lord?" Matthew 16:24, he said he'll lose his life. What does Christ think of the crowd? Well, he said, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." The faithful soldier has one priority. He has one passion that rules him, and that is to take the enemy's territory, to drive him out, to free the captive souls. How much greater should our passion be to carry the gospel to lost humanity, to spread Christ's spiritual kingdom, to win for our Lord, if you please. Now that desire must become very intense in our hearts and in our lives. Without that, we shall not be able to gain the victory. Been a pleasure for us to discuss these things with you. Let me ask you candidly today, are you a soldier in the army of the Lord? Have you obeyed the gospel? By faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, we come into that army. When we enlist, we must know we have a fight and a war before us. Let us always take care of Satan's charge and take care to do only the will of our Lord.